We are so blessed to have them here. Amen. Thank you, guys. I love that they just bring us right to the throne, and we can just worship the mighty King. Hey, guys, let's go into prayer, because without prayer, there's no way that I can say this message to you guys. So I need to calm my heart, because I have a lot to say. I am super encouraged to be here and be able to, and honored to bring the word. So let's just pray. Let God calm our hearts. Father, man, we're here to worship you. We're here to glorify your name through our song. I pray that it's a sweet, sweet sound to your ear, Father. We are here to worship you and you alone, Father. We want to put your glory on display for all to see through our singing, through our teaching, through our lives, Father. So may this teaching just change and impact our lives, for you alone are worthy. Father, may you just calm our hearts today. May you settle us down so that we can hear what you want us to hear. Father, this Christmas season is a season where we can just truly go a million miles a minute and miss the mark and forget the true purpose, which is you and you alone. So, Father, be with us today. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I have three kids, and throughout the parenting, little parenting tidbit that I love to give my kids is your words mean something. I love to say to my kids, you know, regardless of what you say, it is how you say it, but also that there is some weight behind our words when we say them. And so I want to talk about a word today, and I want to kind of unpack the meaning of blessed and what it means to be blessed. We are blessed as God's people, and I want to unpack it through the story of Mary in Luke 1. But even before that, I want to kind of get a little bit of the definition of blessed. And we kind of say words, like there's a little meaning behind the words that we say, right? And I think one of the most famous things that we say, we probably say it every day, and you might even say it to the neighbor next to you that sneezes, is we say, God bless you, right? And kind of what is the meaning and the purpose behind that? Like, where did that come from? And there's multiple definitions of what the word blessed means. And, you know, when you say God bless you, why are we saying that? And so I did a little research. I asked Alexa, which is where I got the sermon from. No, I'm joking. I asked Alexa, what is the meaning of God bless you? Where did it come from? And there was kind of a couple things and theories that came behind it. One of them was back in the Black Plague, in those days, when you say God bless you to somebody who sneezed, it was thought that if you say God bless you, that plague would just go over them and they wouldn't get sick. So there was kind of, okay, that's believable, I can see that. The other theory, and me as a paramedic, I can disprove this 100%. Anybody that is on a cardiac monitor when you sneeze, there was that thought that your heart stopped. And I don't know where that came from, but that's just silly. When you sneeze, your heart doesn't stop. But there was thought that when you say God bless you, that your heart would kick back in. So there was a little meaning behind that, but I think the Black Plague one is probably there. But there's also that other, when it talks about bless, and this is the use in mild expression of annoyance. And usually, you know, people from the South, you would get this. And when we say, bless your heart, right? And I got to say that with some kind of Southern drawl to it. Other than that, it just doesn't sound fun, right? So when we say, bless your heart, usually I heard that when I was growing up. And it's, Dave, you did something stupid. But, you know, there's that meaning behind that. Thank you. I haven't heard that recently. Thank you. Trauma comes back. I appreciate that. But there's that kind of negative connotation that we have to the word blessing. But also that, you know, there's also that feeling where we get something too. And that definition behind, you know, we're blessed because of contentment and good fortune that we have, right? I mean, we all did this at Thanksgiving, and I know some of you did this. There's that grateful, thankful, hashtag blessed, right? I mean, we do that. You kids are doing that nowadays, right? But there's that feeling of, hey, you know what? I get stuff, and I'm so blessed because the Lord gave us stuff. And yes, that truly is, that is biblical. I can see that. But in my opinion, that's probably not one of the best versions that we have. But there is that getting stuff, too. Another one is, you know, when you drive all the way down from Niagara Falls Boulevard, from Buffalo to Niagara Falls, and you hit all the green lights. Yes, I would consider that you are blessed if you can do that, right? But more seriousness, and this is the one that I'm going to unpack, and this is the third one, the third definition, and I think we are truly blessed because we are made holy, set apart, and being transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. And us as Christians, I want to unpack this through the story of Mary. Us as Christians, I think we can kind of all relate to, hey, you know what, the third one is probably the one where I want to land and try to focus on the most and truly have meaning this Christmas season, to where Christ is working in us. We are being set apart by him and being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, man. I want to be blessed like that, and that's through just some experiences. And you think about this with Mary and some of the experiences that she was going through in Christmas and the Christmas season, and you can turn in your Bibles to Luke 1, and I'm kind of going to glance over. I'm going to give you the day version, but this sets back in Mary, and Mary was in her room. She was, it was at night, in the middle of the night, and the angel Gabriel came upon her, and she said, "Mary, Mary, you are blessed and highly favored." And Mary was like, "What?" And angel Gabriel goes, "Yeah, you're pregnant now. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. It came upon you, and you are now pregnant." And Mary again goes, "Ugh, okay, I don't know a man, but all right, I guess." And angel Gabriel also says, "Oh, now it'll be okay. Trust me, I got this. God's got you. It's going to be okay." So the angel Gabriel also says that, you know what, this inside of you, it is the Holy Spirit. It's God himself inside of you. And you know what, this baby is going to sit on the throne of David. This baby is going to change the world, and he is going to rule forever and ever. And Mary goes, "Okay." And she thinks, "All right, I get it." But also Gabriel says another thing that's crazy to her too. "Oh yeah, you know your advanced in age cousin Elizabeth? Yeah, she's pregnant too. Actually, 6 months along, believe it or not. So yeah, she's out there. She's definitely probably got that baby bump showing. You are 6 months behind her, though. You're pregnant, and so is she." And Mary just says, "Okay, you know what? At this point, she's like, I gotta trust God and what he's doing. You know, I'm okay." And what she does next is she goes instantly to her cousin Elizabeth. And what is cool about that is this isn't one of those where, okay, I'm going to walk next door and knock, knock, knock. No, this was a little bit of a journey to get to Elizabeth's house. But it actually says that she went in a hurry to go see her cousin Elizabeth. And the cool part that too is as soon as she enters the room, she sees Elizabeth, and Elizabeth looks at her. And instantly, the baby, who was John the Baptist, who was in Elizabeth's belly, leaps for joy. And that is super cool because then it says that the Holy Spirit actually came to Elizabeth and came to John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was like, "Whoa, you're here." And I love this right before our text. And it says this in chapter 1, verse 45. "Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill her promises to her." Blessed is she who believed that the Lord. And I can't help but think that maybe some of this is Holy Spirit inspired, because we just said that the Holy Spirit lived inside of, or came inside of Elizabeth and the baby leaped. And I think about that too, is we as Christians can relate to this, right? As soon as we accept Jesus into our heart, I don't know about you, but I felt like that, man, the Holy Spirit moved inside of me. That's awesome. And you see it right here. This is the first time where the Holy Spirit was like, boom, and impacted Mary, impacted Elizabeth. Said, "You are blessed and highly favored among men. Fulfill the promises." So in this, I want to talk a little bit about Mary and her life, and Mary instant, and what happened through this. Gabriel comes to her, tells her this story, and what this means for us, and how we can live a life that is being made holy and set apart, and being transformed into the image of Christ. So, hey guys, let's read a little bit. Let's stand up and give reverence to the Word as we read our passage. And no, I'm not gonna sing this song, even though it is Mary's song where she sang. And I don't know if it was a rap, if it was a ballad, or what it was, but this was Mary, and she was singing. She just instantly burst out into a song, and she said this to Elizabeth. This is chapter 1 of Luke, verse 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends through those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he has promised our ancestors." You can be seated. So we would think here, in all intents and purposes, we look at Mary's life, and the Holy Spirit just came upon her, and she's like, and Mary's like, "Oh man, I got this baby inside of her." It seems like Mary has got it all together, right? Like this is going to be one of those fantastic moments where, oh, Jesus Christ comes, and you know, everything's going to be spectacular, right? right? I mean, you would think that, you know, Mary now, and she's got the Holy Spirit, it's here, life is going to be good. But not so fast. Let's think a little bit about the consequences or the repercussions of this. And I don't say consequences in a negative way. Let's just think a little bit about what Mary, or what's going through Mary's mind right now. Most likely in that trip where she's came from her house to Elizabeth's house. Well, first off, back then, you know, the Bible says that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And back then, the moment that you became engaged, you had to wait a year until you could actually get married. So at some point, Mary was in that phase where she was betrothed to Joseph, but for Jewish custom, she was considered married. Married. She was considered married. And you had to wait a year, and one of the reasons that you had to wait a year was so then you didn't become pre-pregnated, because back then, you had to pay a bride price. Joseph's parents had to pay a bride price to Mary's parents. And part of this was so then she didn't become pre-pregnant, that she was pure, that she was upstanding realm. She was good. And consider this, that Mary now had to walk to Elizabeth's house, and she was thinking, oh man, by Jewish custom, my husband could have me stoned, could have me publicly humiliated if he wanted to. You don't think that was weighing on her heart there? The other thing, too, would not only just consider Joseph, because I don't think Joseph knew back then that, you know, at this point, she didn't just go to Joseph's house and tell him first. No, she went instantly to see the Lord. She went to Elizabeth. So I don't even think Joseph knew about this right now. So just think about, what is my husband going to say? What is my parents going to say? You know, think about that. I mean, like, that might be kind of weird. I mean, scholars thought at this point that Mary was about no more than 14 to 16 years old. So think about this. You're a 14 or 16-year-old person. You go to your parents. Oh, yeah, I'm mom, dad, I'm pregnant. And instantly you're going to say, who? Like who? Where? Joseph? Let me kill, you know, dad's out there. You're going to be like, I'm going to take Joseph. Let's go. But no, this is one of those where if Mary just said, no, I'm the Holy Spirit. God's living inside of me. I mean, what do you think that their parents are going to say? Oh, bless her heart. You're a little cuckoo. I mean, just think about that, though, that now she's got to tell her parents this, and what do you think they're going to think about that? The other thing, too, is, you know, her social circle, people that she's hung around. I mean, I'm pretty sure that if she lived in this day that, you know, she's probably going to lose 50% of her friends on Facebook instantly, and then the other 50% in the marketplace are going to look at her and be like, oh, yeah, there's Mary. Look at her. She's probably that girl. She's got a dark past. Man, you don't want to go around her. She's got problems. I mean, think about that. Well, I mean, the Jewish culture held purity in such high esteem that if you were to look over at her and just be like, no, it's like having that red letter A, you know, no, get away from me. So think about that, what Mary is going through. Let's try to be empathetic towards this thought. And all that Mary did was just follow the blessings of the Lord. I would say by Jewish custom, man, that's one big matzo ball hanging out there for Mary when she gives it out to her parents, right? Think about that. But you know what? I think for us, and something that we need to consider, is that this is similar to us. Mary understands still that the blessing is not in what she has or what she has given. Rather, blessing is allowing God to work through her and allow Christ to work through her and those circumstances. See, she was being transformed through her circumstances and through her blessings that God gave her into the image of Christ. And I can't help but think, too, that some of us here, we're sitting here thinking, like, Mary has two choices, right? She's got two choices. One, she could be like, you know what, Mary, or God, hey, I'm going to trust you. I hear that you're going to bless me through this, and I'm going to go with it. Because I have no other choice than just look at the Holy Spirit and be like, yeah, I'm going to follow God's way. Or, you know what, I'm just going to, Mary could have went this way, and she could have went the way of the world, and she could have been like, all right, fine. I'm just going to say, you know, this was Joseph's baby, and try to, you know, pretend. Like, she could have went that way, or she could have took the high road. And you know what? She did take the high road. But how often do we do this, too, in our regular, everyday lives? When we go through some hard circumstances, we take a sober self-assessment, and either sometimes we'll just be like, all right, God, I trust you. I'm going to get on my knees and thank God for what you've given me, for how you've blessed me. And I'm going to put your glory on display because I know you are transforming me into the image of Christ regardless of our circumstances. The same way when we look at Mary, that's the same way. I don't want you to take the other path that Mary could have taken. She could have taken it. She could have taken the easy road out. but she didn't. And these are some things that we can consider. So you know what? Something that Mary is giving us, and Mary is teaching us through this, the circumstances here. Mary is teaching us to trust God, and she gives us three reminders through her story and through her song here. But first off, this is not a point in exact, but I want you to consider this. When you don't feel blessed or when you want to look upon the blessings of God, there's three things that we can remember. But even before that, when life gets difficult, Mary just burst out into song. And when I was studying for this, instantly, I was thought about the old hymn that we have is, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." Right? Some of you folks know that. I'm seeing some head bob. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. But then think about the other song that goes there. "Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." I can't help but think about that. That Mary, when she was going through these circumstances, that instantly she just burst out into song. That's kind of odd, right? That you would just burst out into song? Well, you know what? Maybe this is something that we should do when we're going through hard, difficult things. That, man, let's just pop on the worship music. And let's not concentrate on our earthly problems, but let's focus on Christ. And these things of earth will grow strangely dim. So I want to encourage you that, and this is kind of just Dave's little sidebar, is that, you know what, when you're going through some difficult things, man, pop on that worship music and praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I'm sitting up here, like, man, the things of earth, I don't even think about anymore. Man, just bring us right to the throne. That's the whole purpose of worship, is to bring us closer to the throne of Jesus Christ. And you know what, you don't need to wait until Sunday morning to be able to do that. You can do that right in your own kitchen. You can do that right in your own, when you're singing you are the best singer in your shower. And you could be singing to the Lord, man, plop on that music, and you just be singing right away. The other thing too, so when we look right in this, is that's kind of a sidebar, but remember these blessings. And Mary is telling us three things to remember when things get difficult, when life gets hard, when we want to remember what the blessings are. And number one, and she says this in verse 46 and 47, let's remember who God is. Let's remember who God is. He is our Savior. It says it right here in verse 46 and 47. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So not only is she glorifying the Lord through her song, but she's remembering who God is, the Savior. And interestingly enough, when we think about this, is in some religious cultures, they think of Mary as this high and mighty person that's lifted up amongst you and me. No, she had the same problems, the same issues as you and I did. She was just as flawed. Other than that, why would she need to say that she needed a Savior? She say it right here, that I remember that I need saving, that I need a Savior, that God is the one that gets me through this. So this God, this Savior that she's talking about, Mary's remembering that she is just as guilty as the next person in her family just due to her sins. Mary was not sinless, at least according to this passage. We are all in need of a Savior. Hey guys, God is holy. Amen? And when we think of holy, this is just flawless, perfect in the sense of holiness. So if we remember who God is, Psalm 99 verse 9 says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship, sing at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." Man, I love that psalm, man. When you think about songs, psalms are songs sung back to the Lord. So this, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. So guys, let's remember who God is. God is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who created the world, the one who gave us every single breath. There is not a breath that we are taking right now that isn't God ordained, that isn't God given to us. Each breath that we're taking right now is a gift from God. And you know what? The same God that created Jesus Christ, that put Jesus Christ inside of Mary, is the same God that lives inside of you and I. And that is pretty friggin' sweet. I don't know about you. Can I say friggin' up here, Rich? Is that okay? That's pretty awesome. That God is our Savior. And that power that lives inside of Mary, that was put inside Mary, is in us, if you know Christ. So let's remember who God is. And Mary is telling us that. Awkward pause. Go to number two. All right. Number two, the next reminder is Mary is saying, let's remember what God has done in our lives. Let's remember what God has done for Mary. And you read this, you know what, as much as life gets frustrating or unfair or downright unbearable sometimes, where we don't really see the blessings in our lives, Mary is just saying this: calm your heart. She's going to sit down and reflect on the goodness of God. And you see this in verse 48 through 53. And my encouragement to you would be, live out Psalm 22:4. Mary is reading this, and she's basically telling us, you know what, stay humble. Remember what God has done, stay humble, and stay fearful of God. So she's telling us two things. Despite the difficult circumstances that she is going through, she remembers what God has done for her, and she recites throughout the whole thing. And I'm not going to read the passage, but in verse 48 and 59, it said, he blesses us. Verse 50, gives us mercy, forgiveness. Verse 51 through 52, he protects. Verse 53, he satisfies. I want to draw some parallels, too, that Mary is reciting. Mary is actually, it seems eerily similar to the plan of salvation for us. If we think about people that don't know Christ, this is for you right now. When she's reciting, hey, you know what? Mary blesses, or the Lord blesses you. Regardless of where you're at in life, the Lord is calling you back to him. As you sit here right now, I want you to contemplate what it means for your life to have Jesus in your life and what that could look like. Because you know what? In verse 50, it talks about mercy. Regardless of where you're at, God gives us mercy and he gives us forgiveness. Then through that, he protects. I almost want to think about that too. That's one of those too, where once you're saved, you're always saved, right? There's divine protection behind that. Nobody can ever snatch you out of God's hand, period. Once you are his child, nobody can take that away. You will always be a child of God. And then the satisfaction that comes from knowing that, where you can actually sit and relax and think of those blessings that come just because you're a child of God. And I don't want to say again, this isn't a prosperity gospel thing at all. This is just one of those where God will work through you in regardless of the circumstances. And you know what? Maybe it's hard for us to sit here and be like, you know what, Dave, I don't see the blessings in my life. Well, I would say too is, are you thinking about who God is when you take your eyes, when you look down here at a horizontal level? Of course, you're going to find horrible things because we are sinful people, right? But when we take our eyes and stop looking on here and we look up, that's when things change. But Mary gives us a couple of things to think about in Proverbs 22:4. She also talks about Psalms in Samuel 10, 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10. See, Mary is talking, and she's bringing in relation to what Hannah was talking about in her prayer. And Hannah is seeing this, or Mary is seeing this through Hannah. She's remembering what God has done for Hannah through and what she's brought her through. This is eerily similar to what she is talking about. So she's giving us two things to think about: humility and fearing the Lord. Proverbs 22:4, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life, aka blessings. See, we just gotta find ourselves in a state of humility. And what that looks like, that isn't a negative thing. That's just one of those where we can sit down and be like, you know what? I am in need of a Savior. I need God to work through me. I need to humble myself when I come to the cross. Day after day after day. We need to be humble enough to go there. You know, I mentioned it 2 weeks ago, and I'm gonna call out all the dudes. I mentioned it talking about going and praying with your wives. How was that over the last 2 weeks? Did things change? Did you just ignore it? And now you're wondering, whoa, I don't see any change. I will say that I sat here and I prayed with my wife a couple of times, probably not as much as I should, and I'll sit here just being honest, but it was hard. I had to humble myself and actually do it. It was hard, but I did it, and I saw the blessing through it. And I would challenge each one of you men here to humble yourself in front of God, humble yourself in your families, and that's when families change, man. When God gets the heart of the man in the family, that's when hearts truly change. But also the fear of the Lord too. Verse 50, when you talk about fear of the Lord, this has a positive connotation behind it. This isn't one of those negative things where you need to be scared of God. God is not one of those people that you need to be scared of. Mary is reminding us that because of who God is and what he has done, we must humble ourselves and have that healthy fear of the Lord. This is all this is just a deep reverence and awe of who God is. And when we humble ourselves, we can look upon who God actually is and how awesome he is in our lives. And these blessings only come from being humble and fearing the Lord. So we have these two things, remembering who God is, remembering what he's done. And this is my favorite one. And those that like Bible, I apologize, but I'm going to go through these super fast in my third point. There's a lot of Bible verses up here, only because I just didn't want you to think that these were things that God made up. The only reason why I brought these up here was so then you can go back and you can research and you can think of the promises of God that he's made to us. So you know what? Remember that who God is. He is our Savior. Remember what he's done in our lives. But also remember that God always keeps his promises, period. He never lies. And you know what? I'm going to draw some things that he's shown Mary, that he's worked through Mary's lives, that he's done in our lives, but also some promises that he gave us. And there's no reason to believe that he won't keep those promises because he kept all those promises to Mary. He kept all those promises to us, but also there's some promises that we can see growing up, throughout our lives. So you know what? Let's look at some promises that God made to Mary. And yes, these are fast. I don't want you to turn there, but I just want to show you. You can go back and look them up. But you know what? Mary made a couple of promises, or God made a couple of promises to Mary. He said, first off, you know what? Jesus is going to come through the lineage of Adam. Jesus would be born of a virgin. Jesus would be declared the Son of God. Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. He would be heir to the throne of David, and he will be called Emmanuel. All of these promises are promises that Mary didn't necessarily see, but I can guarantee you that she had studied the word and she knew it, and she knew, she probably had that thought that, wow, you know what, God is going to fulfill these promises. And we have the benefit of looking back and being like, we can look at the Old Testament and be like, yeah, God made those promises. Mary's about right here and she sees it. They fulfilled. Now we can look back and be like, wow, God made all those promises. And look at that. I mean, there's seven promises right there that God made, that God kept. And he promised those. So there's seven promises right there that we have. But you know what? Mary was singing this beautiful song to Elizabeth and ultimately back to God. I believe there that something Mary was considering, that she was thinking about all the promises of God and remembering that despite all that she has gone through and all that she is about to endure, that God is faithful and will always keep his promises. So what does Jesus promise us? And I know this is not an exhaustive list, but in the sense of blessing, I want us to consider a couple of things that we can take from here when we don't really feel blessed. Some promises in the Old Testament that God made to us and now in the present that we can see. That Jesus is there to teach us when we don't have the answers. And you could look at this in multiple, you see it in the Old Testament in Psalm 78, but then you also see that in the parables, in any of the Gospels. You see them right there. The other one is that Jesus is there to heal the brokenhearted, regardless of where we're at. If we don't feel like we're blessed, or if you're going through some hard problems, if you're going through a situation at work, if you're going through a health crisis, if you're going through a prodigal son or daughter that you don't feel like is going to come to the Lord, and you're just brokenhearted about it, God promises us that he is close to you, that he is there for you, that he is there to comfort you. And that, yes, despite those circumstances, you are being blessed because God is working all things out for his good and for his glory. So let's remember these promises that God made that we can see in our lives that, yes, God promised us, and those has been here for long, long periods of time, you can see God. Yes, he's been through and he has helped me through those situations. I don't think there's a person here that has been in their faith for more than 5 or 6 years, maybe 5 or 6 minutes, that you haven't seen God keep his promises. Amen? Can I get an amen to that? Yeah, okay, I didn't think I was the only one to do that, but I'm pretty sure that God has kept his promises at some point in your life. And you know what? I love this last one because I don't think that we consider it enough, that we too can be like Mary, and that there is a promise that God gave us that is yet to still come. And this is one of the things that I love, that I get excited about the most. And yes, I even want to read it to you because this is awesome. That Jesus will return for his church and we are going to reign with him in heaven one day. That this is actually going to happen. that God promised us in the Old Testament. He promised it in Daniel. In the New Testament, he promised in Revelation 19. And he also promised it, too, in 2 Corinthians. And I want to read this to you. If you want to turn there, great. If not, it's up on the screen. But Paul wrote this in Corinthians. He said, "It is written, I have believed, therefore I have spoken." So you sense this, I've truly believed this. This is a promise. I truly anchor to this. And I see this. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. I have no reason to sit here and think that God will not keep his promises to us one day. Jesus is coming back. When? I don't know. But are we living our lives in that light? Do we have that eternity viewpoint in mind? That, hey, you know what? Christ is going to come back. He will come back. I don't know when. But you know what? I feel truly blessed by our Lord. And when I don't, I'm then reminded instantly by this Bible verse right after this. And I don't think there's a mistake, too, that when Paul is saying, hey, look at eternity, have eternity in mind. And yeah, you know what? There is some junk that we might be going through. Well, I look at this right after this in 2 Corinthians 4, and this is verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. And this is probably one of those where like, yeah, I'm waiting. I don't think I can be patient any longer. But you know what? This is one of those where I want to encourage you guys to think about this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly, we are wasting away. Yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day as we remind ourselves of the promises of God. For our light momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Worship team and guys who are doing communion, you guys can come on up. But I want you guys to think about this in closing. That even though there's some circumstances in our lives that are difficult, and that we don't feel blessed sometimes, you know what? We are blessed by what God has given us and the promises that he's given Mary. We can look upon and be like, you know what? Wow, God is awesome. He has kept all of his promises. There's no reason to believe that he won't keep any more of his promises from here on out. As we think about this, so I gave you three. Remember, we remember who God is. He is our Savior. As we remember what God has done in our lives too, we only need to stay humble and stay fearful of the Lord. Remember that God will always keep his circumstances. And number four, and this is not from the text itself in Matthew, but this is one, is remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And I can't help but think about when we come to the table together to celebrate together what that means for our lives. So in the next couple of minutes, we're going to do communion together. And I want you to ponder this. I want you to think about what God has done in your life, and who God is. I also want you to think about the promises of God that he made in your life as well. So as we do this together, and as we think about communion, the worship team is going to sing, or going to do a song. I want you to stay seated, and I want you, as you take communion, I want you to consider all of the ways that God has blessed you. And you know what, even though sometimes they might seem dim, or they might seem small, at any time we feel like, you know what, I'm going to wallow in kind of this, let's look at the vertical. Less of the horizontal and more of the vertical as we think about who God is, all that he's done for us, and that God always keeps his promises. So as we go down here to the communion table, as we remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, I want to encourage you guys with a couple of things, and this is just flat out what Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received from the Lord, I also passed on to you. And the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is my new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So you proclaim one of the Lord's promises when we take it here. We think about one of the Lord's promises each time that we take this together. This is for those only who are in the family of Jesus Christ, only for the ones who have made that decision to follow Jesus with their hearts. And it's also for people, too, that, you know what, if your heart just isn't right, if there's kind of maybe a deep problem or some deep-rooted sin within your life that you haven't confessed to the Lord, I would encourage you over the next couple of minutes to get that squared away with God. But if some chance, if you don't, maybe this isn't for you. The Bible also talks about that, you know, if you take this in an unworthy manner, then some of you, there's bad things, negative connotations that can happen to that. So this is not for you in that instance. But over the next couple of minutes, I want you to sit down as we pray and as we reflect on who God is, what he's done in our lives, and all of the promises that he's given us and given you. Guys, man, as a church family, we are truly blessed to be sitting here, being able to take this with one another, being able to sit here and lock arms and pray to the Lord God, the one who is so worthy of our praise. So guys, let's pray as we pass this out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you've done in our lives, for all you've given us.